You have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 27. Genesis chapter number 27. It's good to be in church. I wanted to be here last week, couldn't be here, but I am glad to be here today. And we thank God for you. It's good to see all of you today. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter number 27. Good to see Anthony Smith today. Anthony's went through a tough week. I want you to pray for him now. He is this week going to get some results from a test, and I want you to pray about that, that God will give him good news. But whatever news he gets, I know this, that God's able to take you through it, brother. And I believe that, I'm sure of that, and I'm praying for you that God does a great work in your heart. Before I read chapter 27, can I start with a story? This young man was 14 years old, and he, at 14, left home, and most 14-year-olds that leave home because they're irresponsible. But this 14-year-old didn't leave home because he was irresponsible. On the other hand, he left home because he was responsible. And the reason he left home is because his country was in great conflict. And he wanted to go and fight in the war and help his country survive. So he enlisted. He kind of had to fudge his age. And when the war was over, he was a great hero. He was, his commander said, he was a footman. He fought right in the trenches. And his commander said he was the bravest young man he ever seen. Well, then after the war, he went into private sector. He became successful. And then his country again was embroiled in a conflict. And he again stepped to the plate and he said, I'm going to fight for our country. And he got up and he volunteer. This time he did not enlist as a footman or just a regular soldier. By now he was an officer. And George Washington thought so much of him that he put 10,000 men under him. But something happened in the heart of this man. He became, and many of you know the history, the greatest traitor, the greatest liar that ever was on the planet. And his name was Benedict Arnold. How many know the story? I want to preach this morning on the life of Jacob. I want you to know Jacob was the first Benedict Arnold. And my thought this morning is this. Are you or am I living a lie? I'm going to preach straight this morning. Am I or are you living a lie? I'll be honest with you. Of all the characters in the Old Testament, I don't like this guy. You like him, Jed? You don't like him either. I don't like him because he was a liar, a cheater, a conniver. He just was a hypocrite. Somebody help me preach. But look with me and let's just look at the story and I'll give you three or four things. And I want you to get in your mind, think of this thought, are you living a lie? Or am I living a lie? By the way, you really need to answer that this morning. We all need to come clean with God. Somebody say amen. Let's just start the story and I'll introduce you to him and introduce you to what's going on. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, that he called Esau his elder son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. Now, you know, us old people, we start telling people we're going to die about 15 or 20 years before we die. That's just the way old people are. My wife, she the other day said, I'm going to die. Then this morning I said, I ain't going to live long, honey. She said, You're going to outlive 10 people. And that's the way Esau was. Well, actually, Esau, when he said this, Chad, he lived 20 more years. That'd give you a little thought. But here he is. And he said, Behold, now I am old and know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, and by the way, he said, Now, therefore, I pray thee, take thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow and go out in the field and take some venison and make me a savory meat such as I love and bring it unto me. Everything's going good here. Now, see, Esau had two things going for him and he lost one of them. First of all, he had the birthright going for him, and he sold that out for a bowl of soup. I want you to know, are you a sellout? Are you really real? I tell you, we need to preach that in our churches today. We don't preach that much anymore because we got so much superficial Christianity today. I want to ask you, are you real? Is it real with you? I want you to know when I got saved, it got real with me and it's still real with me. Amen. Amen. This on my heart this morning. Are you real? Now notice the story going on, verse 4. And make me a savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and that I may, my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah, boy, here it is. Here it is. Are y'all with me? And Rebekah, young men, it always starts with a woman. They always listen. Look what the Bible says. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Amen. She was listening. Ain't that the truth? My wife hears everything I do. I think she's got a little hourglass outside my door, always listening to my conversation. She's looking at me real strange this morning. Amen. Stay with me. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two kids of goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And here's what she was saying. Hey, you go out and get me a couple goats. I know he's wanting venison, but I know how to fix it. He won't know no difference. You go out quickly, go get it. We'll fool him. And by the way, the path to lying. Are y'all listening? The path to living a lie is, it's instead, it doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen just boom like that. It's a process. And we're going to see that process in this passage. First of all, the path of living a lie starts with close association. Hey, by the way, most people, when they see him, they don't see him by themselves. Am I preaching? People don't like to see him alone. My Bible said evil communication corrupts good manners. I like the church. Would y'all repeat that with me? Let's do it together. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Do it again. Evil communication corrupts good manners. show me who you hang around with, and I'll show you what direction you're taking in your life. Am I preaching? Just show me who you hang with. Show me who you want to be around, and I'll show you who and what direction you're taking in your life. There's three words everybody in this room ought to grab a hold of this morning. Are y'all ready for them? Number one, you ought to grab a hold of this word, forsake. I want you to know what? You ought to stay away from anybody that would lead you astray from God. I don't care if it's a deacon's daughter. I don't care if it's a preacher's son. I don't care if it's somebody important in the church. If they're acting corruptly, if they're acting foolishly, you tell your kids to stay away from them. Somebody help me. Forsake. You know, moms and dads, hey, I see marriages right now falling by the wayside. You know what happened? Somebody listened to a friend, said, hey, why don't you just go out with me and drink once? Why don't you just go out with us party a little bit? And we see young men, we see older men falling into sin because they follow a close association. You need to weed out some people in your life. Tell you what, when I got saved, I weeded them out. I was running with a crowd of a heathen. And the day I got saved, number one, they didn't want to have nothing to do with me anymore. And number two, I didn't want to have anything to do with them. And there's so many people, they're living a life because they're listening to their friends. They're listening to crowds. Teenager, look, listen to me today. You need not to listen to that person that would tell you dirty jokes, that would act like a fool. And hey, moms and dads, you don't need to hang around with people that would corrupt you. Amen. Am I preaching? Yes, kind of quiet in here. Now, there's another word. Not only forsake, you ought to learn, but favor. Jesus said, if you don't forsake your father and your mother and your brother and your sister, you cannot be my disciple. That's what he said. Now, what was he saying? I hate my mother. I hate my sister. What he was saying is, you need to love me so much that in comparison, it looks like you hate your mom and dad and your brother and sister. You know what we need? We need some real Christians to finally fall in love with God and love him more than anything. I want y'all to know this morning, I love God more than I love my wife. I love God more than I love my children, and I really love them. Am I preaching? That's a good word to learn. Number three, and we even had a youth rally called this. Need to learn the word forge. That's forging a friendship. That's making a way. I want to tell you what. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room are subject to falling away from God if you don't forge good friendships and wholesome connections in your life. Am I preaching? Number two. Y'all all here? This thing, we went from a close association. His own mama led him astray. His own mama. Then secondly, look at verse number 11, verse number 12. I see a carnal attitude. Boy, I want you to know him. He's carnal as a devil. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Now, I'm working with five associates, and it aggravates me to death, but all five of them are hairy people. Now, Chad ain't got nothing on top of his head, but he's hairy all over. Hello? I didn't shave till I was 25. I mean, I'm a smooth face. Somebody said, won't you grow a beard like your associates? I said, number one, I think they're appalling. Number two, I ain't going to do it. Every time they come to a staff meeting, I said, out of the will of God, out of the will of God, out of the will of God, out of the will of God. y'all good? And Jacob said to Rebekah's mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now, here's what, it sounds like the right answer on the surface, but he wasn't afraid of doing wrong. He was afraid of being caught. Amen. He was afraid of the punishment he would get from his father for trying to connive such a lie. And that failure become a falsehood. And he said, he gonna find out who I am. I tell you what, boy, I might as well just preach this morning. I feel like it. I tell you what people are more concerned about today. They're not concerned about sin. They're not concerned about how bad they are. They aren't concerned about their thought life and what they're doing. I tell you what they're concerned about. They're concerned about their image. That's the way that's our whole generation, this whole woke culture that we're living in. It's all about image. I want everybody to think I am it and all of that. I want you all to know I'm nothing outside the grace of God. Am I preaching? Does this make sense to y'all? Thank you. Image this. I want my kids to be top this, top sports, and top this, and top that, and top this, and top that. Why don't you want your kids just to love God and live a Christian life and have a wholesome family and raise children and them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Why don't you just want that? Amen. Outside my five associates, I have a few preacher friends. And I don't know why, but I'm always attracted to crazy people. You know? I had a preacher friend of mine. He's a hoot. He might be crazier than I am. He was driving down the highway up in Pennsylvania going to preach and had his kids in the car, and he was going down through there, and it was January, and he looked way off. He said, look here, there's somebody out there playing golf at 15 degrees and it's snowing. He said, they're crazy. So he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When we get up close, I'm going to roll the window down and holler four. He got up real close and rolled his window down and started to go. And he didn't do it. You know why? That wasn't a real golfer. It was a cardboard figure of a golfer. I'm going to tell you what. See, far off, you may look real good. But when you get a close examination, you just cardboard. You just can't live a phony life. You need to be real. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, remember what he did, Chad? He went up to a fig tree. That fig tree was full of leaves. And what he done, he cursed it because it didn't have no fruit on it. And if you know anything about a fig tree, if you know anything about them, their fruit grows with the leaves. So when he saw it, he cursed that fig tree. I want you to know something. If you're saved and you know Jesus Christ, there ought to be some fruit in your life. Third step. I'm almost home. I see a concrete action. Look at verse number 13. And I want you to know these action verbs. Notice these action verbs. And his mother said unto him, upon me be the curse. Be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them. And notice these action verbs. And he went, action. And he fetched, action. And brought, action. Then to his mother. And his mother made, action. Savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebecca took, action. Goodly raiment of her eldest son, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger brother. Number three, we see a concrete action. I tell you what happens is, you get the wrong people in your life, and then you develop a carnal attitude, and then it runs right into a concrete action. And he did exactly what he said. And you how many heard stories like this? When you see a preacher, by the way, everybody advertises when a preacher falls. Well, they ain't the only one falls. And they said, well, he fell into sin. I want to say something this morning, and I wanted to get right to you. Nobody falls into sin. No. If you fall, you go into sin, you're there because you choose to be there. Hey, you live a sinful life, it's because you choose to live a sinful life. You're a phony because you choose to be a phony. Lastly, and I'm going somewhere. By the way, one of these days you're going to have to face the Father. Number four, I want you to look at verse 18. Y'all with me? How many's with me still alive? Amen. It's good stuff, isn't it? And it leads to a callous arrogance. You know what I can't take? I can't take a hypocrite who's arrogant. They know they're wrong, and they're still callous and arrogant. And that's what it led to. Look at verse number 18. And he came unto his father, said, my father. And he said, here am I. And look what Isaac said. Who art thou? I think Isaac knew something was in the works here. How about you, Chad? Who art thou? Lie number one, he said, I'm Esau. Lie number two, I've done what you said for me to do and badest me to do. Somebody help me preach here. Lie number three, he said, I brought venison. He didn't bring venison, he brought a goat. Are y'all with me? And here, I think Isaac goes on to him. You know what Isaac said? Well, how'd you get it so quickly? It's like, was you just out in the woods and Bambi came by? Hello? Well, how'd you get him so quick? Well, Isaac was on him. Boy, you want to know arrogance, Lois? You want to hear arrogance? Look at the next verse. Say, God brought him to me. You want to know low down? God brought him to me. You can't get no lower than that. Hey, getting in your sin and then justifying it by bringing God into it. God ain't got nothing to do with your sin. He doesn't have anything to do with sin. Amen. Go and look at the verses. Isaac said unto him, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Come here, Chad. Let me feel you. Yeah, pretty hairy. Nothing there, but... Talk to me. Say something. Boy, that's profound. You feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. Ooh. And you know what he done? Isaac gave him the blessing. And he went home. Mom, we won. We won. We won. I got the blessing. You know what she said? This a few verses later. Well, you got the blessing, but I just heard your brother is going to kill you. So you need to run. And amen, that's just what we do. We run away from God. That's how you get away from God. Just run away. Well, she, you know where she told him to go? I'm finished the story. I like this part. You know where she told him to go? Go to my brother's house. You know what his name was? Laban. How many's heard of Laban? You think Jacob was a liar? He met his match. So Jacob went over there and, whoo, glory. And Laban had two kids, two girls. One of them had a good personality and not so pretty. And one of them was gorgeous. You know, woo. And guess, you know who he's choosing, don't you? He's choosing gorgeous. And Laban said, okay, you can have what you got to work for. 7 years. He went out flipping hamburgers, doing everything he could. Work, 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 work. And 7 years was up. And back then, the culture was like this. Culture was different. Here's what they done. They brought the bride at nighttime when it was dark and brings her into the tent. So she comes in, gets in the tent with him. He spends the night with her. Sun comes up through the tent, looks over and said, ah! Ah! Wrong one! Laban, what'd you do to me? Oh, didn't I tell you you had to have the elders first? And you know what he done? He had to work for another 7 years, and he was 20 years there. 20. That's what a lie had done for him. He was 20 years. And finally he said, I'm going to go home. And I shortened the story. I know it well. You remember what he done the first time, Zach, when he was facing with his earthly father? His earthly father said, who are you? And he said, I'm Esau. Well, he's going to face somebody again. Amen. At a place called Peniel. Yes, anybody ever heard of Peniel? Right. That's where, hey, Brother Rich, that's where he had to face him again. This time he didn't face his earthly father, but he faced his heavenly father. Amen. And let's look at the story. You know what happened? Y'all with me, kids? Y'all with me? And what happened? They were talking, him and God started wrestling. Now you think he was a match for God. God was just playing with him, you know. You know, your dad told me to smack up on you a little bit. God was just playing around with him. Hello, y'all with me? Just go to chapter 32. Yeah? It's in there. It's in there. But then it got down to the, you know what he said? You know what he said? He said, I want you to bless me. I'm not going to let you go. He talking to God and to you. Bless me, Santa. How many believe that sounds familiar? That's what this whole thing started with. You know what God said to him? You know what God said to him, Bryson? Who are you? What's your name? And you know what he said? You know what he said? He said, I am Jacob. You know what he was saying? I'm a thief, I'm a cheat, I'm a liar, and that's who I am. And then he came clean. You know what some of you Christians need to do this morning? And clean, instead of playing both sides against the middle, you need to get on God's side this morning. Amen. And quit playing this thing. Quit playing church. Amen. Quit it. People are dying and going to hell because they're looking at Christians. Oh, that's a bunch of hypocrites. I know I'm preaching a little over, but I tell you what, somebody needs to get down to business. You know what? When he confessed, you know what God done? He blessed him. He said, your name ain't going to be no longer. No longer. No longer, Jacob. But it's going to be Israel. Prince of God. And he named the place Peniel. You know what that means? The face of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Zach, you, me, everybody in this room is going to come to face with God one day. And we're going to have to give account. And my question is, are you ready? Hey, if you're here this morning, you're lost. You need to ask the question, am I ready? Or are you just living a lie? You're outside of the will of God. You're lost. You need to get saved this morning. Come clean with your sin. You know, we don't preach on sin, but I still believe you need to repent. Right. Then I want to ask you young people. I want to ask mom and dad, are you living a lie? Are you one thing in this church and one thing outside this church? Tomorrow morning, you'll be something else. You'll go there at work. And they'll cuss and tell jokes and you'll like it. Hello. I ain't liking it. No way. I remember when I got saved. I'll tell you this story. I'm done. I really got saved, didn't I? I got the real deal. And I got to tell y'all, before I got saved, I worked for the Department of Highways. And we had a trailer. One end was the sinner's end. And one end was the saint's end. One end was pornography and ignorance. The other end was King James Bibles. I lived in the ignorant side. Well, the day I got saved, I walked into the trailer and didn't walk into the sinner's side, Chris. I walked in over the saints. Now, I tell you what they thought. What in the world's up with this dude? And then the sinners came over there and said, I thought you belonged over here. I said I did, but I fell out from sin. I came clean with God. I'm saved by the grace of God. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, you need to come clean with God. Stand with me. Lois, sing for us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. First of all, I want to ask, if you die today, how many know that you know that you know you're going to heaven? Raise your hand high. Hold them up high. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I'm here this morning. I know I'm not saved. I'm not fooling nobody. And I need to be saved. And I want you to pray for me. Slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I wonder how many Christians. I want you to be honest right now. You're going to face God. How many Christians in this room will tell me the truth? That you ain't really been living the way you ought to. That's right. Slip it up. I ain't living the way I ought to. Slip it up. Say, Preacher Smith, I've been one way with my friends and one way with this group, and I know I'm not doing right, preacher. Slip up your hand. Yes, I see it. I see it, sir. Thank you. Somebody else. Just slip it up and say, Preacher, I've been living a lie. I ain't gonna lie to you. I have not been honest with God. But God knows, and I know He knows, and I want to get right with God. How many just slipped up your hand, others? I need to get back to God. How many's further away from God today than you used to be, and you know you need to get back to God? Say, raise your hand with me. Yes. Right now, whether you're unsaved or saved, you're away from God. You can't live no lie no more. Come clean this morning. And at the invitation, I ask you to come and get right with God. Our Father, thank you for this sermon. Lord, when I studied it, it was real deal to me. Because what I want to be, I'm real. I'm starting my 47th year here. These people don't need no phony. They need the real deal to lead them. And God, I want my best. And this morning, I ask you, God, just empower me. And I pray for Christians. Just right now, they look deep in their souls and said, is this really real? Have I been living the opposite of way I should? God, help folks to come. In Jesus' name.
Thou art the potter.
Oh, yes.
I am.
You raise your hand.
Clay.
Don't sit back there. Come on up. Get right with God.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I
yes, yes, yes. Come clean with God. You're going to have to face your Penuel. You're going to come face to face with God. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. And right now, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Those folks in this room, you're bothered. You're convicted. Why in the world are you sitting back there? I'm going to give you one more verse to come and get right with God. If you're not sure you're saved, come and get right with God. Amen. Talk to Tyler here. Talk to her. Oh boy, isn't that something brave of her? Isn't that brave of her? Are you brave? Are you brave? Why don't you just say, I'm tired of my sin. I want to be right with God. Keep singing, Lois. Boy, I'd like to see a breakthrough this morning. I like to see us have a breakthrough today. Amen. I'm serious about this thing.
Thou art the potter.
Amen. We work with these kids and young people, but we work carefully. Amen. You still got time to come. Why don't you tell your friends I'm going up? I'm getting right. Don't you tell your wife, let's get right. We know we're not right. Come on. Amen.
While I am waiting.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Yielded and still.
I bet you're thinking like me. Jacob, you old conniver. You're pointing your finger at him, and these four are pointing back at you. I'm not preaching. Yeah, boy. I tell you what, I've never been so serious in my life, Chad. I know I ain't got a lot of years left. I'm like Isaac. I ain't gonna be here long. I want to make them count. I ain't gonna play church. I'm not doing it. Amen, David. Glory. Glory. Hey, some of you ought to get somebody by the hand and say, I'm sick of living a lie. I'm sick of being two-faced. Amen. Quietly here. Pray for this one. How many's praying right now? Pray for it. Yes. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hold you.
Church family, this is Kaylee, and Kaylee just prayed and asked God to save her.
Somebody. Thank you, Jerry. Hey, Kaylee, is it Kaylee? Congratulations. Your name just got written in the book of life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go home. Aren't you glad somebody got saved?
Amen.
Our Father, we love you. Thank you for Kaylee getting saved. Lord, there's a bunch of people raise their hand that are not right with God. I pray they get right before tonight and that they come back tonight. I want to hear from God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.